Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 7:20 p.m. and that is Dubai time. And I'm recording the audio now because I'm still reasonably compos mentis. I'm still suffering from jet lag, and I doubt I'm going to be awake by the time the U.S. market shuts, unless of course I'm probably waking up around that time. But I'd rather do the audio now. Well. When we look at markets, there have been a number of events that have occurred in here today that are worthy of mention. The first, of course, is that China was up over 4%. The Hang Seng was up over 2%. And we're getting some back and forth trading on Wall Street. Well, these are pretty impressive moves that we've seen in China on an intraday basis. But I think it is worth putting them in context when we look at not just the daily charts, but the weekly charts. I'll put both of them up now. We definitely had an upside key reversal with follow through. So that is putting a low of at least near-term significance under the Chinese market. Then when we look at it on a weekly basis, well, we can very clearly see that there is still a sequence of lower rally highs that's been evident since the beginning of this year. And that will have to be broken in order to really, truly confirm more than short-term steadying. One important characteristic with the Chinese markets is that the renminbi continues to weaken. What we're also starting to see is evidence, I think more substantive evidence, that the Chinese administration are very actively trying to curtail capital flight. So a UBS banker was, it's hard to say imprisoned, but certainly taken into custody, and his travel plans delayed at the very minimum. And also we've seen that UBS and Julius Baer have curtailed the movement of private bankers, though not investment bankers, within China. Well, the one of the primary services that private bankers tend to provide, and the quiet is that is how to get your money out of the country or to avoid the overt scrutiny from people that you may not wish to have people looking at your affairs. So that's very much in the interests of the Chinese administration right now, because they have got some very large looming debt issues, particularly with refinancing, and the only way that that is going to be controlled is if they can avoid capital flight while at the same time devaluing the currency. It does look increasingly likely that the path of least resistance for the renminbi is lower, and that will have ramifications for the stock market, regardless of the jawboning that is going on right now. What we need to see is some clear and substantive action by the equivalent of China's plunge protection team, which is the state-owned sovereign wealth funds. Now, when we look at what is going on in terms of Wall Street, I'm going to bypass Europe just for the time being. There are a substantial number of the Nasdaq's large cap shares are going to have their earnings this week. So the Nasdaq is up approximately 1% on the Nasdaq 100 right now, and it's firming from the region of the trend mean, which is exactly what it needs to do. This 7,000 level on the Nasdaq is a key area of potential support, considering that it represented the peaks from the prior advance that we had in 2017 and at the peaks that we saw at the beginning of this year. So if it can continue to find support in the region of the trend mean and the upper side of that underlying range, well, then we can conclude that it's still in a reasonably consistent advance. Now, when we look at a share, for example, like Amazon, it has pulled back to the region of the trend mean, and on every other previous occasion, despite the fact that the share is prone to accelerations, every time it has pulled back to the region of the trend mean in the course of the last 4 years, it has bounced. So this is a rather key area from which demand has to be seen to be reasserted in order for the trend to remain consistent. Considering that the share has paused at 500, 750, 1000, 1500, 2000, then if the trend is going to remain consistent, the next area of potential resistance is potentially around 2500. Well, that's substantially above where prices are right now, but if the trend is consistent, that's where it should begin. That's where I think logically it should therefore start to encounter resistance again. but that is on the assumption that it can continue to hold the region of the trend mean, and that is by no means certain, considering that the headwinds that are outstanding and the degree of uncertainty that is being expressed in the market. However, I think it is important to highlight where the most selling pressure is being evidenced and where the least is, because it's within the subscription-oriented business model companies that we're seeing less evidence of trend inconsistency compared to for example, the semiconductors index. So, for example, when we look at Microsoft, that has adopted a subscription business model over the course of the last few years, then it has not quite reverted to the mean, and it is starting to give us some evidence that it's starting to firm. Cisco Systems, which pulled back rather abruptly last week, has also steadied in the region of the trend mean. Adobe, which had a very, very clear loss of uptrend consistency in breaking its progression of higher reaction lows, has also at least steadied in the region of the trend mean. And then when we look at some of the, for example, the computer game manufacturers like, developers and sponsors like Activision Blizzard, well, they've also pulled back rather violently, but it is now in the region of the progression of higher reaction lows. So this is a rather important area where support needs to be demonstrated. But against that background, where these are all companies that may fall into the subscription business model category, the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index is in positive territory in here today, but it has got a loss of uptrend consistency. There have been a number of failed upside breaks. The progression of higher reaction lows has been broken. It is now trading below its trend mean. The trend mean has turned downwards. So this is increasingly looking like a trend-ending characteristic, and it would need to rally and do so in a very dynamic manner and to push back above the trend mean to really suggest that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And then when we also look at the cloud computing sector, well, that also needs to bounce from this particular area. And it has a rather similar characteristics to the NASDAQ 100. Well, when we look at the FANG index, I think that this is a rather interesting index because it's the FANG Plus index. So it has pulled back below its trend mean, and it was a little bit steadier in here today, but we have to at least pay some due consideration to the fact that some of these shares are within the social in the same bracket as Facebook and Twitter, social media. Alphabet is relatively stable, and Netflix is a high yield company. Alibaba has been the subject of selling pressure because of China's police state. Baidu has also been under pressure, and Tesla is a company that doesn't make any money. So when we look at the companies that have got the better consistency, well, Apple and Amazon still are standing out, and Alphabet really does need to hold its region of the trend mean where it's testing right now. But this is a sector that has lost commonality, and these have been the shares that have been doing best over the last few years. So in order for the stock market to continue to steady from the region of the trend mean, then we're going to have to see some of the running picked up by other companies. And increasingly, that is in the consumer sector. Disney, for example, rallied pretty impressively on Friday, and it's in mildly positive territory in here today as it tests the peak from back in 2015. Procter & Gamble, which is also one of these strong cash flow-oriented companies, has also steadied over the course of the last few days, but it's in a slightly negative territory in here today. When we look at the consumer staples sector as the simple sector index, then it has rebounded reasonably impressively over the course of the last few months, and it is now above the trend mean. and the utilities index has also been doing better. Well, this isn't something that is easily explained if we simply look at what is going on in the bond markets. Generally speaking, the kind of investments that are considered to be bond proxies don't do especially well when you've got yields that are rising, but they do have the benefit of dividend growth. And in an environment where the prognosis is not simply that you are going to be able to capture a 3% yield, but that yields are declining, that the total return on bonds now exhibits a succession of lower rally highs, then that isn't particularly comforting if one were to be buying bonds in here, but rather to perhaps take a leaf out of the playbook that the Bank of Switzerland and the Bank of Japan are employing or deploying and buying equities, that they are no longer exclusively investing in bonds, but that they are also buying the shares of companies that have got very strong globally oriented cash flows. Well, in an environment where you have yields that are starting to rise, not simply on an intraday or week basis, but on a secular basis, then how does one protect oneself against the eventuality that the kind of security that people have come to expect from bonds is not going to be reliable? Well, the easy answer is that you buy something that has got steady cash flows, and the cash flows from very strong cash generative businesses are more reliable than the coupon payments coming from governments. And that's, I think, one of the conclusions that some central banks have arrived at. So if that is potentially the case, then there is a longer term bullish aspect to the stock market, but probably most particularly for those kinds of companies that do have stronger cash flows. And that feeds very clearly into either the consumer sector, the utility sector, and indeed the subscription-oriented business models sector, because the evolution of the subscription business model has smoothened out previously highly cyclical cash flows, and it has really transformed the business models of a substantial number of companies. So what that is suggesting is that we're getting some rotation. Now, if we turn our attention to what is going on in Europe, well, the Italian government is anticipating that the EU is going to reject its budget. But perhaps the more important point was that on Friday, Moody's did not downgrade their debt to junk, and one has to question whether that was entirely politically motivated, but nonetheless, Italy's debt has not been downgraded, and that has at least arrested the push up in yields. But nonetheless, this looks like a bullish pattern, and if one were to simply take the labels off this chart, then it looks like the kind of, if this were a share, it looks like a buy, and that suggests that borrowing costs for Italy's government are going to rise. Meanwhile, the outlook for the German economy doesn't look particularly rosy either, and the DAX is in negative territory in here today, and this looks like a rather bearish chart pattern where we have a very clear head and shoulders top formation evident, and a sustained move back above 12,000 is the minimum requirement to begin to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Now, the big question for Europe is whether we're going to see them accept reality and adopt more of a fiscal stimulus orientation. The potential is that they are not going to sanction Italy, but rather that other countries will also begin to think about what the ramifications are that of quantitative easing, where you have had negative interest rates and incredible amounts of money created in the Eurozone, but that has not contributed to a significant pickup in inflation, and that what you have had instead has been this political polarization. Well, we know that the fiscal stimulus in the USA has created a better economic outlook. Eventually, that fiscal stimulus is going to have to be paid for, and that is a problem for down the road somewhere. But we are still at a point in Europe where they are badly in need of stimulus, and most particularly on the periphery, in order to stimulate growth, try and bring down the unemployment rate, but also to blunt the motive force behind the rise in populism. So that is also potentially something that Germany needs, considering that growth does appear to have stalled in the last quarter. But the stock market is potentially going to represent a catalytic, I think, force in the discourse within the German government. So this is a potential catalytic event that eventually the underperformance of European stock markets will start to change the way that the European administrations view the potential for fiscal stimulus. And with China starting to at least begin to take notice of the underperformance of its stock market, well, there is the potential there also that we could have some fiscal stimulus starting to come through. Now, when we look a little wider, well, the rebound that we've had so far on the Chinese market should start to be beneficial for some of the dependent markets. The ASX 200 is right in the region of its progression of high reaction lows, and this is an area where we might anticipate some support starting to come through. Then, if we look at the Brazilian market, well, they are heading towards the election, and the Brazilian real is right in the region of the trend mean, and the Bovespa is right in the region of its peak. So there is the potential here that we could have some capital market and currency market appreciation for the Brazilian market. If we look at the US ETF, then we get a currency adjusted perspective, and the ETF now is trading back above its trend mean. Then, if we think about one of the things that people were most concerned about last month, well, the Turkish lira has been holding a sequence of high reaction lows since that low, and it was in additional positive territory in here today as it unwinds that wide overextension relative to the trend mean. If we look at the history of its depreciation, there have been periods that lasted between a year and a year and a half of ranging before it has broken to new lows. Well, it has had a clear acceleration of that trend over the course of the last 6 months. So there is the potential that it could range for a relatively prolonged period before we see the next depreciation through seven, and that should be generally positive. So I think we're at a rather pivotal point for stock markets because China is just beginning to start to support its market. And that should be positive for emerging markets generally. Then we're in an important week for earnings in terms of some of the very large cap Wall Street companies, where there is the scope for them to bounce from their respective trend means and for the Nasdaq to hold its breakout. But bond yields continue to remain above 3%, and they do look like they are going to continue to move higher from here. And the weakness of the renminbi is also a negative factor for the emerging markets generally because it creates the potential for competitive devaluation of particularly Asian currencies that are competing with China as exporters into the global economy. Meanwhile, in India, the rupee continues to remain under pressure. When we look at the trend, there isn't a great deal of evidence to suggest that the devaluation of the rupee has ended, and it was in weaker territory in here today. The Bombay Banks Index has pulled back in a rather dynamic manner over the course of the last few weeks, and it has so far sustained this move below the trend mean. There's a great deal of variability in terms of the performance of the banks within the index. For example, at two extremes, you have Yes Bank, which has pulled back in an incredibly dynamic manner, and it has paused somewhat over the last few days, but it really needs to demonstrate that it can hold the low in order to signal that we have more than a short-term low. Whereas if we look at, for example, ICICI Bank, and that represents, I think, relative strength in here, that it has not really pulled back by very much, and it's bouncing from the region of the trend mean. And this does help to, I think, ram home the point that the some of the issues with mortgages and the housing finance that have plagued some of the weaker banks, well, it's not an issue for all the banks. And what I think that also helps to highlight is that certainly this is a challenge for the Indian market, but clearing up the bad loans problem within the financing sector is a potential medium-term bullish catalyst for the wider market, because it would represent a resetting of credit, and that would represent rather a bullish characteristic for the wider economy. So I do think that India is a buy-the-dips kind of market, and it is the kind of market also that is prone to these occasional bouts of rather extreme volatility, which over the course of the last 20 years have been rather attractive buying opportunities. So that's also something to bear in mind, despite the fact that the market remains or continues to experience some selling pressure. I think that we are at a point in the wider market where there is, I think, a rather big decision being made by investors about whether this is still a broadly bullish environment. And I think over the course of the next couple of weeks, we're either going to see a rebound from the region of the trend mean and the upper side of underlying ranges for the wider markets, or we're going to see a deterioration. And if we do see the market starting to rally from here, well, then that holds out the prospect of a melt upwards, that this bullish environment that's persisted for the last decade could be resolved in an upward acceleration. That is something that we have to at least remain open to the possibility of if we do see that markets continue to hold the region of their respective trend means. Then if we look at the commodities sector, gold prices have been a little softer in here, and they're coming back towards the lower side of this very short term range, but so far they've held to that breakout. And for gold, against a background where the dollar has been reasonably firm, well, gold has been quite steady over the last 2 weeks, but it really needs to push up and away from this most recent range. And most particularly, it needs to push back above the trend mean to really confirm more than short-term steadying. Then oil prices have been hovering around this $80 level. And they've been trading around this level for now the last seven sessions. This represents the upper side of the underlying range and the region of the trend mean, so it's a logical area where we can anticipate support starting to come through if this trend is going to remain reasonably consistent. Oil prices have been trending higher now for a couple of years, and as long as they are trading above the trend mean, we can conclude that this is still a reasonably trending environment. And I think when we think about where we are in terms of the cycle, then it's generally speaking in this kind of period where we're in the latter stages of a major advance that cyclicals should be returning to a position of outperformance. And certainly the oil price is a cyclical, or the commodities generally are cyclical. Then when we look at the copper price, well, that the price has been a little bit firmer in here today, but the most important point is that the lower side of this range that's been evolving since the end of September has held. And as long as that $2.70 area is holding, well, then this breakdown that began in June is, I think we can conclude that it is over, and that this is a support building phase, and that the most likely course of action is higher. There was a news story I was reading earlier on today from Vale that they're anticipating a significant source of new demand for nickel as a result of the evolving battery sector, but nickel prices remain below the trend mean and largely range bound over the course of the last month. They've held on to about half of the advance they've put in since the middle of 2017, but they really do need to push back above the trend mean to confirm a return to demand dominance. So we've seen a great deal of variability in terms of the performance of various asset classes over the last few weeks, and it does suggest that there is a rather significant rotation going on. But so far, the major stock market indices have held their respective trend means, and that's generally positive. And until they start to sustain moves below them, well, we can conclude that this is still a trending environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.